Welcome, everybody, to another special episode of the Cemetery Files. I am your host, Jake Hill, with
Kelly Schaefer.
Yes, indeed.
Calling from the witch's den. No.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on here, so we thought we would just kind of regroup today. It's a beautiful day outside. That's why I'm outside, and you know, we're enjoying the weather. So she's enjoying the weather down in Tennessee. I'm up here in Wisconsin.
Well, it's like, you know, well, it's kind of like dreary and icky outside, but that's okay. I don't mind it.
So thanks everybody for listening in. We're probably just doing another Monday special of just a telephone call. So
yes,
we have a few things to unpack. We have some things coming up and some questions and this and that. So
it's been an interesting last few weeks.
Yeah, it has been.
That's pretty much where we're at.
Right. There are, you know, Kelly, you're in the throes of doing some investigating, and
yes,
you did an investigation this last weekend, a couple days ago.
Yeah, we had a client call us and tell us that their business was actually, it's three businesses that are in one building, and what was being reported to me was like, there's no fucking way. That's right. Not happening.
Right.
We went in on Saturday, and I was expecting nothing. Just like I normally get when I go in on private investigations. This had stuff going on. We were able to capture, I'm trying to see if we've got it on the audio or not. One of the reports was that they hear whistling throughout the day, and we were able to experience that. We were able to experience the disembodied voices that people hear talking. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I have, my entire team is almost entirely comprised of mediums and sensitives and, you know, people that are connected to that realm. And one of my crew members is very gifted to the point of where we call her the traveler, because when she sees things, it's physically there for her. And sometimes she's not in the same place that she left when she went into the vision. So we have to be very, very careful with her. She did. I was with her when she experienced one of the visions. And there's no way anybody could fake that. She was holding on to me for dear life. And she's like, you don't see that? And I'm like, I don't see anything. And I got to tell you, that room, we were actually in the women's restroom of the building. And when we went in, it was fucking dark.
Okay.
I mean, there's, you know that rooms get dark.
Right.
But you also know how rooms get darker.
Right.
And it was black. Pitch black.
Yeah.
Pitch black. And she turns and she goes, oh my God, there she is. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking, trying to think, okay, something's going to come out of the blackness and attack us both, right? So she's holding on to me. She says, you don't see her. And I said, no, I don't see anything. There's nothing there. And she had gotten the vision of the old woman that was sitting on a porch, rocking in a rocking chair. And I said, does she see you? She says, yes. Is she interacting with you? No. And that was just, wow. And she went, we sent her in. I'm just like going way off the deep end on this one, because the whole... This is like 4 hours into the investigation.
Right.
But she also
could have been there. Sorry to interrupt you, but I've been there. I couldn't. I had phone issues. I was trying to remote, but I just didn't. I couldn't. I just couldn't. It just wasn't.
You weren't meant to.
I guess not. I guess I really.
And Kim got back. She was tired. She didn't. She says, "I'm tired. I'm going to not do it, but I want to be there for the next one." So she didn't. She didn't remote in. But she's getting the feelings of. I should probably tell everybody what the building's like.
Okay.
The building's three. It's a newer. Kind of like business park, but the businesses that are in there are industrial kind of things. You're talking about a powder coat shop, I don't know what that guy does at the end of the row. He works with cars and stuff. And then the middle place is a chimney spot.
Okay.
And then on there is a tire company, storage units. It's not stuff that's been there for centuries, right?
Right.
So you know that whatever's there is probably attached to something that runs with the land because of just the whole makeup of the area. And we're out there and we're like, "Oh my God, there's a church next to the building." And nobody ever noticed this building. Well, come to find out it's not a church, it's a house in the middle of a business park.
Okay.
And an old lady lives there.
Those businesses are kind of like after the effect of what was there before.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are builds that were there after.
Yeah.
What was,
and I'm thinking that house that's there is somehow related to the original property.
Okay. Now, have you researched any of that yet?
I have researched the building. I haven't gotten much information on it because I didn't want to go diving into records when, you know, when you got a constraint on time, you make things work. But this is, this location is dead on the Trail of Tears. The people walked over the area that building is located. It's a stone's throw from Murfreesboro Harker's Crossing. And then obviously it's a stone's throw from Stones River, the whole confrontation that was up there. I've got some names of people that were on the property at one point. But it was really a very, not very much was going on. Huh?
And you're close to the railroad tracks.
There is a railroad tracks out there. We could hear that from the unit or from the building when we were out there. And we all know that railroad tracks are involved, there's going to be paranormal.
Yeah.
Just for the simple fact of the iron that's in the rails and all the people that traveled over the railroad tracks and all of, it's unfathomable what's going on out there. But we went in and we set up, we did a tour. This happens to be a spot where one of my crew works. It happens to be my sensitive that saw the things the other night. But we went in, they walked around with Pam and got an idea of where they wanted to set up cameras. We got cameras set up, four cameras. I don't know what, somebody else was watching them all night. So I haven't even looked at the data from those yet. But yeah, I was amazed at what was going on in there. When you walked in there, it was fine in the beginning of the building, but then as you started going more into the building, it got a little weirder and a little heavier. Once you got out in the hallway that goes along the back side of the first building and connects business one and business three to business two,
right,
when you get into that hallway, that's when things get weird,
right?
And that's where she's seen the one male apparition twice now. She got to see him
I picked up on him a couple weeks ago.
He's interesting.
Yeah, he is.
He's I'm trying to find the word that describes how he is. He's kind of arrogant. That's the word I'm looking for.
He's kind of full of himself.
Yeah, he's full of himself. He's arrogant. He's yeah. And that I just you could feel that in that building. You could right. feel his energy in there. The woman, I did not feel her energy at all. I don't know what she's coming from. But those are basically the two spirits that she sees on a regular basis.
Okay, come on, Leon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the lady that she saw, they're talking about the lady in the chair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you didn't pick her up, but I when describing her, because that's what I do, I kind of peek into people's brains.
Mm-hmm.
So in that instance, when she saw that lady in the chair and she, mm-hmm. you know, looked at her and everything, it may not be as something as in, it seems a little bit more residual, but it's also kind of like what we talked about last time, which was like a loop.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's got, if she's sitting in a chair, it's evidently there was something there, a house or something there beforehand. And that is mm-hmm. what he sees in that sense. And
right.
what she is, that lady that's in that chair is experiencing. She's either, it's either residual reliving of something, or it's a loop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see if I could connect with, is it Pam?
Yes.
Okay, Pam, get in with Pam and try to reach and connect a little bit to see if that is more of a residual. And it just could have been circumstance that the lady just looked that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'm getting the feeling that this woman is residual.
Right, right. And that's kind of what I got right away. But it's still, there's still energy there to be had in that sense of mm-hmm. finding out. It's kind of like leading from one thing to another thing. To an
well, I've said this from the very beginning, from when I've started researching the property, when we became aware of the location. I feel as though the activity that's going on at this place is in layers.
Oh, yeah. And what for people don't realize that in the paranormal field or the world, it's, excuse me, it's, there's different layers in the paranormal that people can express, especially sensitives. I mean, they can experience from one time period to the next to different, you know what I mean? So that's where the layers come in. And you kind of have to, it's like picking apart a croissant, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's got different layers. It's got the crustiness. It's got the soft. It's got this. But it's once you get to the what's inside of that croissant, if you have something in there, it's that. The meat and potatoes, basically. But there's mm-hmm. different layers in the paranormal field that sensitives and mediums go through, that they have to kind of wade through and pick through all this stuff to figure out which goes where. And it's not a perfect science. There's some science, some mediums that can basically just go in there and say, yeah, this is what it is, and this is from the time period. Mostly that mediums can do that. Sensitives have to kind of picking through if they want to explore further. But like I said, there's different areas and levels of mediums. Nobody's an expert in that sense. I'm not saying for like the paranormal field. I'm just saying there's different levels for mediums and sensitives and seers and all that stuff for different people that experience different things for different levels. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
nobody's alike.
Right. So having
everybody's different, and that includes your gifts. Everybody's different.
Right. So having as many as gifted people on our team as we do,
mm-hmm.
It kind of fits, because there's different things that other people can pick up that maybe the other person didn't pick up, and this and that. And then when we get together,
exactly.
we
can. Exactly. And it's the same. I mean, that thing, what you just said right there, what you mm-hmm. just said about how other people pick up different things.
Right.
Very clearly illustrated when we were in the bathroom, when it was just Pam and I in the bathroom. She saw it, I didn't.
Right, right.
These entities are revealing themselves to her. They didn't reveal themselves to anybody else.
Right.
We sent her into the building all by herself because that's who they're used to.
Right.
So we're all outside standing there watching her on the cameras, and we've got her mic'd up and we've got her walking through. We can hear her. We can see her. We're good.
Right.
And the guy showed up for her while she was doing the walkthrough. And I said, did he interact with you? And she says, no. Did he look at you? Yes, he watched me. So I'm like, okay, we've got interest.
Right.
We just need to find some way to get them to talk.
Right. Right. And then that's where you would bring in myself or even another member, even Cindy, you know, our other investigator. You know what I mean? And so there's different things that we can do to try to implement these plans that we have with using gifted members and as well as people who just want to investigate, because it all ties together. Because for a person that's not using gifts, that's investigating, might come across something that's different that makes them question, that you can bring it to another member and say, how about this? So you have this concept of people coming together and saying, okay, and then you throw ideas back and forth, and then all of a sudden somebody might pick up on something, and then you kind of tie things together. And that's that's the important things of having a paranormal team that respects one another and is not out there just to get the jump scares, and you're all having a good party, and then, you know, you want to go home and have some beers and get drunk and talk about how scary you were. That is one of the
you hit it right there on nail on the head when it came to this investigation. It was my greatest pleasure during the entire investigation was watching the crew all work together, all try to figure this out. All, let's try this, let's try that, let's do this. They're all brainstorming, every single one of them. And it was just such a such a pleasure to have that and not to have people that are just there to get the jump scares and that sort of thing and to find something that's scary. We're there to help people. We're actually there to figure something out. And it's not that everybody is afraid of what's going on at this building, but there are some people that are not into the whole haunted building thing. But there's others, like the guy that owns one of the buildings, that's like, yeah, sure, come anytime. I'm like, cool.
But some people out there that are just like, I'm trying to run a business, I ain't got time for this BS. And it's like, that's fine, and you respect that because it's their business,
right?
And you always have to be respectful of people who have just the business there, and they're not into the paranormal, they don't care, they just live with whatever they're you know what I mean? Until the fact that it's something really negative that's affecting their business, then they call us. And then they say, okay, something's up here. But until then, and most of the time, they don't. They just don't air enough to, and that's part of their saving grace in that sense of people who don't believe in the paranormal, is that they don't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're too enthralled in the living of the living, you know, basically the day and day lives of just surviving on this planet, you know, in this country, trying to make money and do what they got to do to survive. But there's other people that will look at the other side of it and say, okay, something's causing me to lose money because for some reason, people don't want to come to my business. That's when we come in, say, okay, there's something here, you know, and this and that. So yeah, we are not a jump scare team. We are
We are science-based. Make sure you emphasize that. We are science-based. We're not out there putting out toys and going, ooh, that went off.
Right.
It's we are actually looking at why they're talking with us.
Right. And why is the energy here in a way where people don't want to come to this business? Or why do they have, you know, people here that work here have stories of being scared and they don't want to work there anymore or something like that. You know, there's
absolutely
seriousness to this, as well as being, you know, objective of everything that is out there in the world. And, you know, especially, you know, where you're at right now with this investigation, because you want to find the truth. And there are people out there that are just want the jump scares. And you know what? To each his own. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But there's so many, when we were talking about layers, there's so many different layers of investigating and wanting to, you know, help people. And that's something that, you know, me and Kelly have been friends for, you know, since this last year. It seems like we've been, you know, friends forever because we're spiritually connected. Yeah. And when we come together and, you know, we can pretty much almost like finish our sentences in that sense where, you know, she sees
something. It's getting really close. It's getting really close.
So, yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, I do remote views for places and this and that, and until, because, you know, I'm 8 hours from her, so I work and I don't have time to drive 8 hours. So right. I do remote viewing because I am a medium, and I do, you know, certain things and phone calls and this and that, and, you know, it helps. So, and helping all these other people on the team who are newer to their gifts and this and that, that's where I come in, and that's where I help guide them to.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
that alone is something that I value that what you bring to the team, because I've said this before, I use my gifts, but I don't know how to teach people how to use their gifts.
Right.
I'm still trying to learn what the hell is going on with me in the first place. So yeah, having you there for them to talk to,
yeah, that's a whole other show.
Are you laughing at me?
Diagnosing and finding out who Kelly Schaefer is. That's a
oh, come on. Let's just keep me with an air of mystery.
Yeah, you're definitely not an open book. No.
No. Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of people that don't
time know. To talk that. So,
oh gosh,
you were saying it's you know, I'm grateful to be able to help the team and, you know, and to help discover certain things, and, you know, I was watching last night, and I was on Netflix, and I was watching Medium Henry Tyler. Is there Tyler Henry?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I've always liked him on his A&E show and this and that. And I watched some of that stuff, and I know that he's got some personal stuff that he's been going through, especially with the show. It's only a couple of years ago, but the guy is very gifted, and I see some of the things that he's struggled with, and I think he's still struggling with it, and I feel bad for him, but that's the life of a medium. You struggle through, because we're sensitive to a lot of the things and the elements out there in the world. It's just the fact that we have to kind of tread lightly on some of the things that we deal with, because we have to take them all in layers. Again, talking about layers, because we can get undained, like overwhelmed in that. And I was watching some of the programs or some of the episodes of this on the Netflix, and I just could see it in his face of how stressed and how, you know, he puts up a good front. And I feel bad for him, because he's just going through, it seems like at the time he was doing the show, he was kind of going through the ringer. And I just felt bad for him. And, you know, I follow him here and there on other social media platforms, but I'm just like, dude, you know, I wish that, you know, me being connected in the paranormal field, especially in the medium side of it, and talking with other mediums and other people, it's not about being famous or not about being anything. It's about helping people. And
we've said that before. I mean,
that is his forte, is helping people, and he's a living doing what he's doing. And granted, it's easy to get caught up in that. And, you know, but in that sense, I think that part of him, from what I could sense just watching the show, was that it's all well and good, but it can be so overwhelming to the point where he just has to retreat. And someone asked him, where is your kind of like your safe places that you go to, or you have people that kind of help you keep grounded? And he's like got a trifecta of different people that he has to go to. When one gets too much, he has to go to another person that helps ground him, and this and that, you know what I mean? And I could just sense that energy, and it was a good program. And I saw that there were a lot of people that were dissing that program, and I'm like, why? And what a lot of people don't understand is, mediums and people who are gifted like that come under the microscope of scrutiny.
Right.
And so many people that just basically, you know, are afraid to use their gifts. But when they do decide to come to that light saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, use my gifts, I need to help some people, and I need there, you know, there's reasons why I am the way I am. And you have to realize that.
I'm a clear example of that one.
there's gonna be times where a lot of times people are gonna put you under a microscope because of, for whatever reason.
Everybody does, yeah. Like, well, it, or I look at,
you know,
there's so many conversations that I overhear, and even people that actually physically talk to me about it, and they don't understand how much I'm picking up from their conversations. And one thing that I get is there's one medium saying, I'm stronger than that medium, I'm better than that medium, I'm, you know, no, it's not that. There is no one that's better than anybody else. Everybody has gifts, but right, you have a specialty in a certain area.
Right.
Or your frequency is able to pick up on this better than Jim Bob over here. You resonated at a frequency that's able to pick up this, whereas Jill over here doesn't pick it up.
Right.
It has nothing to do with who's better. It has everything to do with finding people that have similar gifts and helping each other understand those gifts.
The support system is important as well. I mean, there's a lot of people that do support mediums and gifted people, but there's mm-hmm. just as many people who will tear you down and call you fake and do this and do that. That is normal. That is something that anybody who is listening to this, who thinks they have gifts or know that they have gifts but are afraid to use them, you have to follow your heart in doing that. And that is why basically when we've done investigations or I do remote viewing or something like that, it's the support system behind it that people are there to lift up the other person and say, okay, you know, this is what I saw, this is what you saw, this and that, you know, so let's figure out something together, this and that, mm-hmm. that togetherness. It's not so much, you know, when you put yourself out there by yourself, mm-hmm. you're going to get attacked. You're going to be, you know, saturated with people, with the naysayers and the people like, oh yeah, you're full of shit, you're full of that.
Right.
You know, having a support system, when somebody is gifted and you want to explore your gifts, the very first thing that you need to do is getting somebody like-minded that can help support you. Once you get one, it's one you get two, one you get three, one you get four. These people are, it's the best example is like the body of Christ. It's like if somebody is a believer and somebody who believes in Christ, I believe in Christ, you know, having that support system in your Christianity is key, because you want the body of Christ, the people, like-minded people around you, to lift you up, because of the fact that there are a lot of people out there who don't believe in religion or don't believe in Christianity or Christ or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you want to run into that. It's the same thing for a medium. If somebody who has mm-hmm. gifts, somebody who wants to help somebody, that support system needs to be in place before you do anything. Because mm-hmm. if you don't, and it's like if you go out to, if you're going to walk outside of a building and it's hailing outside and you don't have an umbrella or you don't have something to protect you, you're going to get pelted. You are going to get pelted. If you've got mm-hmm. the people out there with five umbrellas, at least you're not going to get pelted with hail. Okay, that's the best analogy that I can make. So, yeah, there's different ways to do that. And support system is big. If you guys have any questions, you can always, you know, send an email to us, or, you know, something on the Cemetery Files page on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message. If you're curious or if you've got this and you don't know how to handle it, we can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not working with like you or me or we know other people.
Right. Right. Right.
We know other people that might be able to help you better than we can.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like if I've got somebody that's into Appalachian magic, I'm not going to try and help them because I'm learning it myself. I'm going to turn them on to the person. Huh?
But you know somebody who could.
But I know somebody who does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like voodoo. I don't do voodoo. I don't do hoodoo. I don't do any of those. I don't. But I know somebody who does.
Right.
And I can help you connect with that person. And that's what it is about building a community. This is a community of investigators. This is a community of researchers. This is a community of mediums. This is a community of people all interested in the paranormal, no matter where that might lie. Bigfoot, ghosts, cryptids, UFOs. Whatever the hell.
Right.
It's we know a community UFOs. And we're supposed to be here to help each other.
Right. The spiritual side of I should say the side of the paranormal is the fact that spiritualism and spiritual people are key in especially investigating. And, you know, there are some people who don't use any mediums and don't, but they still do the research-based, science-based research and paranormal. And that's their gig. That's what they do. We choose to use mediums just because of the fact that that's just how it unfolded for us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And anybody that knows anybody who has gifts and is afraid to explore those, that is your choice. You always have a choice to do that. If you don't, if you choose not to do that, that is the choice that you've made. Not saying that anybody who's gifted, you have to do that because you don't have to do anything but live. Yeah. Anything but live. If you feel that you want to explore that, explore it. But do it with a support system. Find out who to contact that can help lift you up and help support you. Because that is the key. Without any support, you're going to fall on your face and you're going to be disgruntled and you're going to be angry and you're going to doubt yourself. And so that's where all this stuff kind of, it's almost like I said, so you walk out of the building and you get pelted by hail. And then you feel like crap and you're laying on the ground and then somebody walks over, hands you a file and say, these are all the things that are going to happen to you next.
Right.
You don't want that. You need that support system first. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, yep. You need to be around like-minded people to help you.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you know, like another analogy, you love working on cars but you don't, you know, really know. You're kind of competent in doing what you're doing, but you know how to do certain things. Surround yourself with other mechanics. Ask questions. Have people support you in that. And so it just goes the same way.
Yeah.
Support system in the spiritual realm in this sense is essential and important. And so is the same as living on this earth with anything. You want to be a ballerina, you need support system. You want to be
exactly.
You need a support system. You need somebody going to help lift you up instead of doing it all by yourself because you're not alone in doing it. Just remember that. You're not alone in doing this.
You're not alone. No. Or there's other people that'll be ready to help you.
You know? And it goes back to sexuality. People who are homosexual, you know, lesbian, mm-hmm. gay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, or trans or whatever. That support system has to be there. If you come out of the closet and you have no support system, you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to get bullied. You're going to get this. You may still get that, but if you have a support system down and with you, then it's not, the blows will be more deflective than anything else. So,
you're right.
Yeah. So the support system is really key. And that's why this team that I'm a part with K2 Paranormal Research, these guys, and with you included, Kelly, are great because of the fact that they are very supportive of me. Mm-hmm. Even though I help them as much as I can, they're still supportive. They don't just take. They also give back. Mm-hmm. And that is key to that. And that's why this team is very successful. That's why Cemetery Files is successful. Because we have important messages and we have great guests on our show and we have this. And, you know, we have a great support system. People who love the paranormal, you know, are great supporters. We've had people mm-hmm. that call our stuff BS. That's fine. That's your opinion.
That's fine. Yeah. And, I welcome a debate. I welcome conversations about anything we talk about.
Or anything we find.
I will never turn down a paranormal conversation.
Right.
You want to spend a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, a few months? Yeah, come on, let's talk.
Right.
I I will sit there and talk the paranormal for hours if I can. But yeah, I really enjoy the fact that down here in Tennessee, we have an extremely close group of people that we work with. All the teams down here, there's talking about infighting all over the place, but we're not finding any of that down here. We do have a few problems that need to be taken care of, but it's hopefully it's going to resolve themselves, because it's not. Now I'm not even going to go into it because it gets me pissed off. But it's all about getting that community out there and getting everybody on the same page and helping each other instead of hurting each other. No one's going to have the answer. Not one person's going to have the answer, but we can certainly get the information just to have a conversation.
Right. At least you have that information maybe that you didn't get 10 hours ago. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So,
and there is no consequence. There's no coincidence. There, when you meet somebody, if somebody comes into your life, the same thing. There's a reason why that person is there. Whether it's good or bad, whether it be a lesson or a blessing, it's there for a reason. So remember.
A reason or a season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So getting back to the yeah, because we sometimes do that. We get off on a little bit of a tangent.
Well, of course we do.
PSA.
Yeah, right? PSA. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here looking at my maps going, oh my God.
So, with this investigation, I think that you probably got maybe a three-parter at least.
Oh, if not more. I mean, this is... I got to find out what was there first. I got to do the research on the property because I mean literally looking at my maps, this is probably a few hundred yards from where the headquarters for the Army of the Cumberland was.
Okay.
There's the railroad track right there.
And this is your Civil War era right now.
Yeah, this is Civil War era. I mean, it's like right down the road from Stones River Battlefield. I'm just going to have to go start peeling off the layers of history to find out what's going on.
Right.
Because I don't know who it is we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that from what I'm seeing too is the fact that it's at least you're going to probably discover the more you go, the more you're going to discover. But there's going to be some aha moments there, but there's also going to be very rewarding moments as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I think it's going to be something where, you know, the driving force of when Pam who works there.
Yes.
Okay. When Pam come to you and said, okay, there's some activity here and this and that, we should maybe look into this. You know, there was a reason for it. And I think part of that, the fact that there are a lot of residual around the area, but there's soldiers, there's, you know, some guys from the 50s. I don't know why I keep seeing this guy in a
that doesn't
but
surprise
he's a
me.
Taller guy. He's a taller guy, but it could be just somebody, you know, for whatever business there was before. But also, when you had mentioned me before we started the show, you talked about the business that was there before, which was Two Men in a Truck, which anybody who knows what Two Men in a Truck is a moving company. Now, they have stuff on their trucks, or if they've got stuff in there that they're storing, or if they, you know, have people left behind or whatever, and they have it in that building. And that was a few years ago. You know, we all know that inanimate objects can attract energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you had something antiques or whatever, if these people that had, you know, were moving, using them as a moving company or whatever, you know, some of that stuff, they might still, you know, have transferred to there, that building.
Right.
That is a thick layer. Like I see a big book of layers of, you've got to go through a lot of pages to find out stuff that's there. So,
yeah.
So my idea was to possibly contact that company that was there and ask them the same questions that you talk to about people who work there now. Mm-hmm. Did you have activity when you were in this building? You know, right. Or did you have something where you went and you moved some people and then after that you have activity? You know what I mean? Maybe they would be more receptive, to it, maybe not. But that's one of the angles of looking into an investigation, is finding out what was there before and, you know, the interactions and whatnot. So I pretty much can probably guarantee that somebody's going to talk.
Right.
We need to talk, you know?
We need to talk.
So that's one of the avenues I would suggest that you would look into and try to reach out to these people that owned that company.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm going to go back and find out how many, I'm going to take this back to when that building was built.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And past that and beyond that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at, I don't know who owned that land. I got to find out who owned that land.
You know, and kind of start from the, and with any type of research, I mean, you start from, you know, you could start from where you're at now and then work your way back, but you could also start from the beginning of when that, where the land came from, what was built on it afterwards, and this, and then work your way up. It might make a little bit more sense than going backwards. A lot of people do research backwards, which is fine.
Right.
That can work. But if you want to go to the original and try to find out what's there first, then it may be a little bit easier. It just depends on what you...
What records you have, too. Right. I mean, sometimes you can get a hold of the previous stuff easier than you can get a hold of the current stuff, or vice versa. It could be the other thing. It has everything to do with what portion of the timeline is giving out the most information.
Yep. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good way to go.
Yep.
But so did Stevie catch anything?
Stevie spent a lot of time watching cameras. I don't know if he saw anything or not. I don't remember talking about that.
Okay.
If we did.
Okay. Maybe a question to ask him, you know, or to kind of present.
Well, yeah, we need to do a whole evidence, you know, like we didn't do a recap afterwards. We were like, everybody's ready to go home. It was midnight when we left.
He's tired.
Yeah. Yeah. 6 hours. Yeah. We're ready. And that's one of the nice things about having an older crew. Everybody gets tired at midnight.
We're not the 20-year-olds that want to be there for 13, 14 hours and investigate sleep there. No, we're old people, so we're old people.
We're going home at midnight.
You're pushing it 7. 1 o'clock comes around and like, oh man, I gotta get up in a few hours, you know. Yeah,
that's the funny part.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we're not young cats. You know, we're some older cats that are already set in our ways, and we're just kind of
I like it though.
Yeah.
This year I've gone into investigations blind. I'm not doing any research ahead of time. I did very little on this just to see if we'd be interested in it. But there are some that are doing the research work beforehand. But when you got a brand new location, there's not really much you could do. So, I don't even know where I was going with that one. I'm just sitting here watching rain come pouring down.
Oh, see, it's sunny here. And beautiful. And you
it's my kind of day here. It's nice and rainy and gorgeous.
No. I know the rain is essential, but no, I'll take the sunshine and the green, beautiful green trees everywhere.
Yeah, and you like heat too, so fuck you.
Yeah, 90 degrees and I'm happy.
I'm rain and cold and I'm grabbing on to every single moment of rain and coldness that I can get because I know the heat's coming. So anyway, let's see. So where are we in this story? Yeah, I think this one boils down to we do have things going on there. But it's going to be we need to do the work on researching the land and finding out the history of what was there beforehand. What's that house that's next to it too? That's another thing that's got us like, okay, it's a house, it's not a church.
Right.
It's an odd thing because she's got the Ten Commandments out on her front porch. So that's why we thought it was a church.
I think we could probably do a couple shows on this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The further we go down and try to figure out.
You mean shows with intention? Oh my God.
Right.
Not BS phone calls?
No.
Our Monday morning phone calls?
Yeah.
Jay and I started off with a Monday morning phone call, and then he's like, "We need to be recording this." So that's when here we are.
I said that just off the cuff, and then you're like, "Oh yeah, we gotta do that." Yeah.
And then in the process, we lost all the energy we had.
Right. Yeah. Monday came and went, and then another Monday came.
Yep.
But a lot of it had to do with seasonal. I have seasonal depression, so I don't do winter. I don't like cold. I don't like naked trees. It's very depressing for me. I have to work through it. Next year, I've got to try out something different because last year was awful.
Oh, yeah, you were bad. You were bad last year. Yeah.
Really bad. And unless I could get somebody to fund us, to do this professionally all the time. And I would probably take a vacation out of the state. And I would probably.
Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody go, "We need you to go here." You know, they're going to pay all of our expenses and all of our living expenses.
Yeah, you need to go here. Like, we'll pay you to this and we'll pay you that. And just, yeah.
I don't think there's a team out there that doesn't wish that they could get something right. Like that.
A lot of people say it's a young man's game these days. In a sense, it is, but there's a lot of other people who have been through it and know the ins and outs of it, like us, and we appreciate what we do get and all that stuff. And yeah, it's just being in a place where we could do this professionally and doing it where we could get funding and this and that and. Investigate certain things and places and ideas. It's not like we're looking for a TV show or nothing like that, but just
I just want to have this is the entire focus. I want the paranormal to pay for my life.
Right. There you go.
I want to do the paranormal as my career. And they didn't have that on career day when I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, I didn't see that either.
I would have signed up for that one. That one would have been a good one.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that I love the fact that it's all, ours is all research based. We want to do the research. We want to do the
history. We want to connect history. We want to connect history with the paranormal activity.
Right. And that's why we called it Cemetery Files, is because of the fact that every cemetery and person that's buried in the cemetery has a history.
Yes.
And if anybody wants to know what that means, is the fact that we try to find the history of people, especially people who are buried in cemeteries, always have a story to tell. And that's why we try to tell these stories, and even when we connect or with spirit or whatever, maybe one of the questions we ask is what cemetery are you buried in? What credence can we give that cemetery? Where can we locate that? And so it's not so much of how you died and this and that. The normal.
I don't want to hear the how you died. I'm going to leave that up to them.
It's basically what did you have for breakfast when you were alive? Right.
I love that question.
Simple questions, asking them
questions,
about
questions, you would ask questions like you're trying to get to know somebody that you just, you know, it's like, how many children did you have?
Right, right.
That's actually one of the questions I asked, did you have any children? And that's actually one of the questions that we got a yes to when we were doing the Estes session.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, we got two yes responses to questions. The rest of them were all just BS.
Right.
But there were two about family, and we got family, and where's another one we got? Yeah, I'll have to listen back to the audio on it. But we got yeses off of those, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You hit family, and then they start talking to you.
Right. So then you want to talk about, you know, maybe their children was the love of their lives. You know what I mean? Maybe that was the one that drove them, you know, and when they were alive, you know, that they were that much and so important to them. You know what I mean? So it's questions like that we try to thrive on, you know, bringing home to some of these spirits that are still here and to ask them, and not just some of the BS questions. Everybody is to his own, you know, you want to ask those questions. That's fine. Yeah.
That's fine. Go for it.
But if you're doing a research base, you want to kind of go backwards. You want to ask them some of the questions of what did you do when you were alive? That is the basic, you know, safe question. What did you do when you were alive? Was it something that you want to talk about? Is it something that you are afraid to talk about? You know, because we're all about helping, even though, you know, part of my work is being a medium is to help people who feel like they can't cross over into the light. They either are afraid of the light, or they're afraid of afraid of repercussions of whatever their how they live their lives or whatever.
Right.
I want to be able to, and I have before, and help people, lead people to the light, and say it's okay. You know, just cross, and you know, you'll see things differently, and not to be afraid, and not to be guilty, and you know, feel guilt anymore. All this stuff. So that's part of the reason why I do what I do, is because I want to be able to help people cross that barrier, so that they're not stuck here. Because what kind of life is that? I mean,
if
you're here and you're stuck here, or you're pretty much stuck here by your own device, or you know, you're looking at things in a different way. So that's where, you know, mediums can come in and say, okay, you know, there's a different way to handle this, you know. So yeah, so part of the reason why I am who I am, and what I do, and this and that, and help people, and especially other mediums and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of helping people. And that has been my intention in everything, is always to help people, living and the dead. And that is my motto. Right. I will help the living and the dead.
Right. You know, it's exactly.
Not investigating and I'm scared, because I don't do that.
I still get scared going onto locations. I don't want to have anybody, you know, scared.
You will see.
So I am not.
No.
I was surprised at myself when we were standing outside. It's like, okay, who wants to walk through the building next? And I'm like, I will. I was like, who the fuck just said that? And I walked through the building all by myself. And knowing that I could come around the corner and see the man or the woman that Pam was seeing, or somebody we didn't know about. I mean, it's always jolting when you see that stuff, because it's not normal.
Yeah,
but
no,
it's also, it's a little easier these days too.
I don't think I've gotten that. I've gotten uncomfortable feelings before, but I've not been scared, you know what I mean?
I've gotten uncomfortable feelings. There was a couple of times that I was scared, but that was just me new in the field. And you have to realize, and I've been thinking about this over the last few days, my introduction to the paranormal was not soft and gentle.
Right.
So I haven't gotten some of the extreme paranormal activity that other people have experienced throughout their life, and oh my god, I'm so sorry that you have, if you did. Just in comparison to mine, I'm like, I wouldn't want anybody to experience what I experienced. But it's because my introduction was not that kind and gentle. I'm always up for those things that are trying to scare me. I'm always on the watch for the things that don't want to be play nice. Right. So when I finally get into a normal situation, you know, I'm trying to get myself used to them. It's like an abused person trying to get used to nice people.
Right. Or a cat that is skittish when it comes around your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I do. That's exactly. Yeah. That's kind of exactly where I was heading.
Yep. So, yeah. So anyways, you know, I think that, you know, this is an hour. So we've done bended your ear enough, people.
We're having fun with an investigation.
Yeah. So, we do have some things probably coming up, more investigations.
We're working on an event where we both will be together. We're going to be hosting an investigation that will probably be opening up to
the public,
regular investigations and the public. Yeah.
Right. I will be a speaker at that event. And
oh, you'll be a leader too.
But yeah, so I'll be able to kind of give a class for people who are interested in that and medium and all that. And not just investigating. I mean, if you're a medium and you don't like to, you know, that's not the investigative of paranormal investigation is not your forte, but you want to be involved in the mediumship or the, you know, psychic mediums and all that stuff. And you want to learn more about that. That's fine. Then I can also help teach you that and help, you know, guide you in that direction as well. I mean, not every medium has to work with the paranormal field. That doesn't always work that way, or doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? There's a handful of us that like the paranormal field and happen to be mediums. So that's me. But so you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and that is the standard true statement. You do everything that you want to do with your own intentions. As long as you have good intentions and doing what you want to do, we want to help people, not hurt people. And that is what it comes down. You know, and we want to teach people and help people, you know, feel better, you know, learn, feel better about them, who they are inside and in themselves. I am not a trained therapist or anything like that, but I know that spiritually, that I can help guide people in a spiritual sense. You know what I mean? Right. So I make no claims of being a professional in any form, fashion or whatever, but
I'm not a professional therapist either. I have been to many therapists, so I can tell you from my experience what I think it might be, but
right. So, you know, I put that disclaimer out there that I could help teach you. I don't have a degree in mediumship or any type of that, because there really isn't. There may be, but I, you know, no, from my own experience,
who knows.
All I know is from my lineage of experience to help people that I've had nothing but, you know, positive reinforcement from these people that I have helped them. So that's what I go on, you know.
Right.
So I claim to be a professional and I have no degree, I have nothing, but that is fine. You know, I am just being me. So when this event happens, and it will, you know, if you want more information, you could probably go on to the cemetery page, Cemetery Files page. And
it'll probably start on Kelly's Haunted Adventures. And then Kelly's, it'll bleed out from there. Because I'm gonna run the event under that one.
Right. And then I will be posting it on the Cemetery Files, as well as the K2 Paranormal Research. Kelly, we will be posting on that.
Yep.
You know, so it'll be out there. So anybody that wants to reach out to us, you can contact us through any of these pages, you know, or the Cemetery Files on Instagram, you know, or if you want to shoot us an email, you can shoot us an email through Studio Six. No. My brain's already quitting on me. I know. It's a Monday. Spiritual Realms. 0101@gmail.com, or the Cemetery Files 2626 at I think it's at, I'd have to look that up. Just contact us.
Get us on Facebook.
Just hit us on Facebook, you know, or Instagram, you know. Check us out also on Studio 6 Media Productions on that page, as well as that is on TikTok, and that's on Instagram, and that's on Threads, and that's on Twitter, X, no, all of them, you know. So yeah, so send me a message to those if you want to contact us, and you know, and we'll try to, you know, guide you in the right direction, you know.
Right.
So upon hearing that, we want to thank you for listening today on this beautiful Monday, and we will catch you another Monday.
So. Yeah, soon. Another Monday soon. Yes.
Indeed. All right. So let's take it out with this.
Okay.
This show is brought to you in part by Studio 6 Media.